Hey everybody, this is Sophie and welcome to episode 91 of the Big Boo Cast. This is our last episode of 2017 and the end of our 10th year of podcasting, if that even seems possible. This year has been a little bit of a record year for Melanie and me in terms of the number of episodes we've recorded, and that is definitely a trend we hope to continue in 2018. We thank y'all so, so much for being patient with us and for listening. In this episode, Melanie and I are going to talk about what we've watched over Christmas break, not to mention Melanie's ever-growing knowledge of the royal family. We're also going to talk about some of our favorite moments from this past year, which is so original. Can y'all even believe how original we are? Before we get started, though, I want to remind you how you can stay in touch with us on social media if you are interested in that. You can follow us on Twitter. Melanie is at Big Mama and I'm at Boo Mama. Or on Instagram, Melanie is there at Melanie Schenkel and I'm Boo Mama 205. Plus, if you're on Facebook, well, we are too. And you can find us there at facebook.com/TheBigBooCast. And as it has been since the dawn of time, you can find either one of us on our blogs. Melanie is thebigmamablog.com and I'm at boomama.net. Alrighty, y'all. We sure are grateful that you're here and we hope you enjoy episode 91. Okay.
Okay.
You ready?
Yeah.
Okay. Hey, everybody. This is Boo Mama. I forgot how we start this thing. I don't even know anymore.
I think it's only been 2 weeks.
Do I say Boo Mama? I say this is Sophie.
This is Boo Mama. I think
okay. So. Okay, we'll try that again. Okay. All right. Hey, everybody. This is Sophie. This is Boo Mama.
Hey, it's Melanie. It's Big Mama.
Melanie's watching a football game.
I am watching a football game right now. Currently, the Wake Forest Demon Deacons are fourth and goal, and they just scored. Yeah. So.
Oh, no.
Well, listen, I mean, what are you going to do? But so now it's 47-45 in what is the longest and highest scoring ball game of the season.
And how much time is left?
Like 9 minutes in the fourth quarter. So plenty. I mean, there's plenty of time.
Yes.
So, but I feel like this ball game to me, and listen, we're not going to talk about football the whole time, but this ball game to me is pretty much like it's a metaphor. It's like we started the season with UCLA, which I felt like became a metaphor for the whole season. And we're ending with this ball game, which feels like another metaphor for the entire season. It is long. It is tedious. I have quit watching at times. I've walked away in disgust. I've gotten my hopes back up. I've gone through the 7 stages of grief all in a 6.5 hour period that this game has been going on.
Mm-hmm. But other than that, it's been really enjoyable.
Other than that, it's been totally fine. And I'm totally emotionally uninvolved. So it's fine. It's all fine.
Okay, so we were just talking about before we started recording, you were saying that you feel really low energy.
I do.
That you just... Yeah. It's the holiday hangover, I feel like.
I think it is, but I think I had the holiday hangover before we got... I feel like the last bit of December was so busy in that last week before Caroline got off break. She was studying for finals. I felt like... So we had that going on. I felt like we were gearing up for school soccer. I felt like I had 2 more deadlines, like final deadlines and edits and stuff that I needed to meet. And it's like I turned that stuff in on Wednesday. What would that have been? The 20th? And I was like, I'm done. I'm done. I'm out 2017. Like I'm done. So that's pretty much
you hit your limit.
I've hit my limit. Like I'm just tired. So I think, and maybe I'm getting the flu, and maybe I have cedar allergies. I don't know, but I just feel like I'm done. So
what are cedar allergies? Just an allergic reaction to cedar?
Yes, because we have a lot of mountain cedar in the hill country of Texas. And so every time a north wind blows in, it blows in the mountain cedar like from December to like February. But they're like, I think it's the only thing. I think cedar, this is fascinating. I think cedar and mold are my 2 biggest allergens. And it has been cold and it has been rainy. So I feel like both of those things are, I'm triggered right now is what I'm saying.
So here's what I've noticed. Let's talk about our ailments, okay? I have been like, I noticed last night, and I don't know if it's because I'm it's cold and I'm 109. I don't know what it is, but I have been so stiff.
Yeah.
Like I got up last night from the sofa and it was like, I'm going to need a minute before I take an actual step.
Yeah. I know. See, that's so weird because I noticed, because I did a lot of cooking, you know, just like we did our cinnamon rolls and I made toffee and, you know, just here in the kitchen a lot. Like, so from like the 22nd to like Christmas Eve, I felt like I did a lot of cooking in the kitchen. And I was like, my lower back, when I stand like that now,
yes,
I'm like, what is wrong? Like I kept having to bend over and touch my toes. And Perry was like, what are you doing? And I was like, my back. I was like, God, what is, like, I've just
become. That's my thing. Maybe that's it. Maybe it's all the cooking.
Maybe so. I think it's the, I mean, I kept bending over. I thought, here I was. There was a moment when I was in the kitchen and I had on sweatpants and like an oversized sweatshirt. And I had to keep bending over because my back was sore. And then I had to have my reading glasses down on the end of my nose so I could read my recipes. And I thought, well, this is it. I've crossed over to the other side.
And here's the thing. Here's how you know you've really crossed over. You didn't give a rip. You didn't care.
You weren't
concerned about it. Just, what's up, everybody? I'm going to bend over and touch my toes for a minute because I need to stretch.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Mamma just needs to stretch so I can kick and so I can keep making these cinnamon rolls.
Well, yesterday, when I went to the gym, like before I started walking, I was like, I've got to stretch out my lower back somehow. I think you've hit exactly on what the problem is, because that's where all the discomfort originates for me, is in my lower back.
Yeah.
So I got on the treadmill and I just thought, well, and I just bent over at that treadmill and leaned down and touched the whatever you call it, the treadmill belt for about 25 seconds.
Yeah.
Before I could even think about walking.
No, you got to stretch out your lower back. I mean, I really feel like, that's where I feel like Smart Bar, which I haven't been in like 2 months, but I'm going to get back into it in the new year because I'm like, I've got to stretch. Like when I don't stretch, everything hurts. So terrible. It's just, but it's, listen, I'm 46. I can't, listen, it is what it is. I've got to have my reading glasses on. I mean, I think I've gone up a whole magnification level in my reading glasses just over Christmas break.
Well, I thought yesterday, maybe I need to try Pilates. Maybe I need to do that. Yeah. Maybe that would help stretch out some things.
Yeah.
Because I can remember my grandmother saying she felt like she was stowed up. Like she was just, you know what I mean? And that's all I know to say. It's like, I don't know.
I know.
I'm doing like leg pulls or something in the grocery store now, just trying to keep everything all limber and operational. Moving.
I agree. I know. It's like, so that's, well, and I saw, which now I've Googled it. So apparently, you know, I'm going to tell you a Twitter headline and you're going to tell me how quickly you think I clicked on it. It said the workout that has totally transformed Meghan Markle's physique.
Oh, that was less than an eighth of a second.
I mean, all I saw, Meghan Markle. Yeah. So anyway, so apparently it's this mega former, like this whole workout routine. And sure enough, there is a place in San Antonio that offers it called Core Physique. So I've already decided I'm trying that in the new year, because if it's good enough for Meghan Markle, it's good enough for me.
Hey, speaking of, we haven't even talked about this in real life because we really, once school got out, we really haven't like talked on the phone. No. We've texted, but we haven't talked on the phone during Christmas break. So the engagement pictures.
Oh my gosh. I mean, first of all, her dress.
Yes, ma'am.
It was stunning. I mean, it was, and here's the thing. A lot of people said that dress seemed like a lot in comparison to Harry's suit seemed a little more casual. I don't care. I mean, she brought it with those. Cause listen, she didn't wear a sensible dress. She didn't go simple. I mean, she went all out. She went like, if I were going to be a princess and I was going to be engaged and I was going to get to take those pictures, that is the dress I would wear. It was stunning. I mean, she is stunning.
Thank you. Yeah. Because here's the thing, everybody. She is going to marry a prince. As far as I'm concerned, she could have showed up in straight sequins and that would have been totally fine. Like, You do whatever you need to do, Meghan Markle. Like, this is your moment. You shine. Yeah. I'm not going to begrudge you a long dress when he's wearing a suit. I thought they were phenomenal. Yeah. They were so beautiful.
They were gorgeous.
And you could also tell that, like, he just adores
her. Yeah. As well he should. I mean, they were just the cutest. They're just everything about it. And listen, don't even think. And then their Christmas Day photos, she had on boots that looked very much like those Sam Edelman Camellia boots that I can't find. For love nor money. And it made me sick all over again. Because I was like, look, the ones she had on were Stuart Weitzman, which means they're like $800. So that is a little out of what my boot budget currently is. But they were so, that whole thing with that camel coat and those suede boots. Mm-hmm. Kate had on that plaid that she wore like a muumuu, that plaid red and green, and it was beautiful. But I felt like, in light of the sleekness of Meghan Markle, I was like, I don't know, Kate. I don't know what I think about the plaid.
Well, you know, I think it's hard too. I think it's hard to pull off a hat in general.
Yeah.
And so I thought Meghan Markle. I thought, well done, yeah. Meghan Markle. Yeah. And you're sort of step into this world where. There are a lot of hats and what do they call them? What do they call those things? Fascinators. Yes. Well done with the simple, to the side, kind of beret-ish. Yes. I feel like that was a good call.
Yeah. I think I wondered if somebody like coached her with that. Cause I'm afraid here's just one difference between me and Meghan Markle. I feel like they would have said, huh? So she went with the felt fedora. I don't know that was the right call. Mm. I wouldn't have known what to do with a hat situation. You know, we're Americans. Hats aren't really our thing. But I felt like if she came up with that on her own, she did very well. If she had some coaching, I would totally understand. Cause I think I would be like, what do I do about this hat situation?
Oh, I feel like that's a big vulnerable moment if you're an American who's suddenly in a situation where you have to wear a hat to church. Yeah. Like I think somebody could have probably talked me into putting something on that had like a candelabra on the top of it with some lit candles. And I'd go, okay, is that what I do? Okay, that's fine. Yeah.
Is this what we're supposed to wear? I know. So, because I feel like we've seen a lot of examples of sometimes those hats go real wrong.
Yeah, they do. They're tricky. And I thought she did a beautiful job.
She did. But I thought Queen Elizabeth nailed it. She had on that bright, like orange, almost red ensemble. And I thought she looked like $1 million. I was like, they were killing it this Christmas.
She's frozen in time, I feel like. Has she not? She's looked the same my whole life.
Yeah. Yeah. She really has. I mean, like I look back at pictures of her now, like, because I've watched The Crown. That was one of the things I've done with my time is I finished all 10 episodes of season 2 of The Crown.
Well done.
Well, listen, I set a goal for myself and I achieved it. But as you go back and look, you're like, oh, there was a time that she didn't look like she looks now, but not really. I mean, she was always a version of that, you know, like her hair has kind of stayed the same. She's always had it. She found a look that worked for her circa like 1960 and she kind of sticks with it, but it works for her.
That's right. Speaking of the British people, yes. I have not watched The Crown, so I cannot make any observations or commentary about that. But I have been watching the Great British Baking Show.
Oh, okay.
Which I would have never thought that I would enjoy. Like, I never thought that I would have enjoyed that. It seemed, I didn't really understand it when I would hear people talk about it. I am here to tell you, it is delightful.
Oh, okay.
It is delightful. And here's the biggest reason why, I think. I was trying to figure this out the other night. We were watching when my sister and her husband were here. And I said, here's the thing. One thing they tell them they have to make. One thing is one of the judges' recipes that they have to replicate. And then one thing is they give them a showstopper they have to do. Like, you're going to do showstopper with a certain kind of dessert. And I never knew there were so many kinds of desserts. In our country, in America, if we were to critique somebody after they baked something elaborate like these people are doing, you can only imagine the kind of pushback you'd get.
Yeah.
Well, nobody knows how great they really are. Well, they're the best ones in the competition and the judges can't see that. That's their loss. This would be the American response. Here is the British response. Yes, it is rather dreadful, isn't it? Oh, yes. I thought it was terrible. The whole time I thought, oh, this is terrible. Like, they are the most self-deprecating, sort of self-critical people, and it is utterly refreshing to me. Like,
okay.
It's so, I mean, they're just, you just, like, it makes you want to encourage them all the more because, oh, yes, that was a flop, wasn't it? Oh, that was, I mean, it's okay. Just, it's hilarious the way that they respond, and so different than the way we see people respond sometimes in our own country. So
yes. Well, Americans, we tend to be like, we're gonna make this thing work no matter what. You know what I mean? Like, we're gonna beat it to death, and we're gonna believe that it's the best till the very end, even if we go down in flames.
Yeah, or we can also be real big fans of ourselves, I feel like. You know, like, we can, we really like to build ourselves up. And there is not, there is nary a hint of that in the Great British Baking Show. Like, it's so funny. I think more than anything, it's just really stood out to me how utterly self-deprecating most of the contestants are. And it's great fun to watch. So,
Okay. Anyway,
it's fun. It's like, and the whole family can watch it. And it's oddly entertaining.
Okay. Well, I have watched, it feels like I've watched an episode or two of that several years ago. A&M just scored.
Good. I'm so glad.
Yeah. Now we're up 50. It's going to be, well, it's 51-48 currently, but we're about to kick the extra point, hopefully. Yeah, but I have not watched it consistently. I've watched The Crown over the break. I finished all The Crown, and then I went back and started watching season one of The Crown again because I felt like there were a couple of things that I needed to go back, like, in light of having seen the whole thing, I needed to go back to the beginning and kind of get a refresher on some things.
Okay.
So I've really dedicated my Christmas break to the royal family in a lot of ways. And then I've read, when I'm not watching The Crown, I've read extensive recaps of The Crown. I've read fashion and interior scenes, blog posts about The Crown. I know, I've done some deep dives into the royal family.
Is this going to be your next book, a commentary about The Crown?
It probably is. Okay. It probably is. So, because, I mean, who knows what else it would be about. So it seems to be the focus of my life right now. So that's what I've done over the break, was watched a lot of, I've watched the special Queen Elizabeth at 90, which, where the family goes back and looks at old home movies. I know. I really have spent my time wisely. But
I really have meant to watch The Crown. You know, I've not even seen season one of The Crown. So I've really meant to do that. It's just, time has, we haven't had a lot of time, a lot of downtime until yesterday. And so, I've got to work that into my schedule before school starts again.
Yeah. Well, and I'll tell you what I learned about halfway through season two of The Crown, what has helped me substantially. And here's another sign that I'm becoming my grandparents, because how old am I? I'm the age where you decide to turn on the subtitles when watching a British show.
Had the subtitles on watching The Great British Baking Show. Yeah. 100% I have.
Yeah, because I can't understand. I'm like, I don't know what you're saying. And some of it is like they're talking about like historical things or names or figures or whatever. And I'm like, so I don't know who that is necessarily. So it helps me to be able to see it written out. So I have watched it with the subtitles, which helps substantially. But I will tell you, here's what I'm going to say about The Crown. And this is not a spoiler alert necessarily, because, I mean, we obviously know they're still married. But I really hope that, for her sake, that Prince Philip is not as horrible as he often appears to be in The Crown.
Oh, no.
I know. He's kind of, he's kind of a big fat whiner. I'm going to be honest. Like,
okay.
Yeah. Sometimes I want to say, I'm going to tell you, he isn't like the people on the British Baking Show. Because sometimes I want to say, Phil, you need to step it up. Because your family were Nazis and you came from a real questionable background and you ended up married to the Queen. So you need to count your blessings, fella. Like, it makes me feel a little angry.
Do you call him Phil in real life?
Well, I do now because I've lost a lot of respect for him. Sometimes you want to go, you need to get over yourself. Like, I don't know. There were several where I was like, wow, like, it's really interesting. I have a lot of thoughts on The Crown, and I'm not going to make this whole thing about The Crown, but, you know, the whole thing is written by Peter Morgan, who's a man. And I feel like we see a lot of Philip's, like his man feelings about stuff that I'm like, this isn't a good look for you, Phil. And I'm like, and in the meantime, the queen has taken care of everything and has the weight of the British Empire on her shoulders. And Phil is worried about his feelings. Like, he's worried about, like, can he needs a crown, or he doesn't like that they told him that he has to bow or whatever. And I'm like, you signed up for this deal. Like, you didn't go into it blind. Phil, you knew what you were getting into. So that's my takeaway. So I'm hoping that some of that has been written for dramatic effect, but Phil doesn't come off smelling like a rose. I'm going to be honest.
Well, maybe after I watch it, we can do a special podcast episode about the crown. Maybe we can break that down.
So anyway, so that's all I'm going to say about that. But that's just been my overall, that's been my biggest takeaway, is I hope Philip has been better than what he is portrayed to be sometimes on this show.
Do better, Phil.
Do better, Phil. Mm-hmm. So, because I just think if you're joining up with the royal family, you know what you're signing on for. So don't pout about it later.
There you go. Like, back up, Phil.
Yeah, that's it. So that's just all I'm saying. So anyway, okay. So what else is, did y'all have a nice Christmas? Let's talk about that.
We did have a nice Christmas. We went to Mississippi last week, which I have to tell you, I haven't told you this story away from the podcast, so I'll just tell you on the podcast. So we went to Mississippi last week for Christmas with David's side of the family, and we went to lunch, and then we went back to Martha's to open presents. Mm-hmm. And I had found for Martha, when I went Christmas shopping, I went to Steinmark's specifically to look for Martha's Christmas, because I feel like that's wise. If I have learned nothing else in my 20 years of marriage, I think that's certainly something that I have discovered. So I go to Steinmark, and I immediately, of course, go to the petite section, because where else would you go if you're shopping for Martha?
Yes.
So I go back to the petite section, and I saw a couple of cute, like one cute, real cute top that had a cute little waistband. And then I saw another sort of, Martha really likes to wear black, because she's got, you know, that gorgeous silver hair, and she's fair complected and blue eyes, and black looks great on her. And so anyway, I found this puffy vest. I can't even tell you how cute it was. Like, it was, if I can find it online, I will link to it so everybody can behold the cuteness of it. But it was sort of ruffly on the front, but it had this little asymmetrical element to it. I can't describe it, but it was super cute. So I got that, and then I got her a dressy sweater to go underneath it, and then a casual shirt to go underneath it, so she can have options with her puffy vest. Mm-hmm. So she opened, when we were opening presents, she opened up the casual shirt, and she was very enthusiastic about that. And then she opened up the dressier sweater, and she was very enthusiastic about that. But when she opened up that vest, I mean, like, imagine every reaction you have known Martha to have.
Oh, I'm so happy.
At one time, and immediately it was, oh, this is darling. This is absolutely darling. I've not seen anything like it. And she's just going 90 to nothing with her reactions, which is why she's so fun to buy for. And then it was like, she stood up and she said, I've got to go try it on. I have got to go put it on. So she goes in her bedroom. She shuts the door. And I promise you, like, it's David, me, my sister-in-law, my niece, Melissa. Like, we're all sitting out in the living room. And Martha is gone for some time. Like, she is. Yeah. Like, we were talking about.
Well, she's got to take some time to admire herself. Listen.
So we were just talking, and then suddenly it occurred to me, like, Martha has not been in here for a while. So I just kind of say, Martha, are you okay in there? Is everything okay? And she said through the door, I look beautiful. And I said, well, I'm so glad. So after a couple more minutes, she comes out, and she was like, I just love it. And I tell you, I'm going to this party, and I'm going to wear it with the sweater underneath to that party. Yeah. But like, so she starts, you know, she has to always plan where she's going to wear it. So I talked to her a couple of nights ago, and she had, in fact, worn it to the party. She just loved it. But that whole, well, I look beautiful. It just.
Oh, that makes me so happy.
It just took me. Oh. So we did that.
Martha also could not be on the British baking show. Martha wouldn't be equipped to be on the British Baking Show.
She could if some element of the competition was trying on clothes. She absolutely could. Because she'd say, you see how these shoulders do. They just come down to here and you see how this neckline does. I just can't. It comes down way too low. And it's just, she could really critique herself in clothes she doesn't like. But when she found that magical something, there would be no hiding her enthusiasm.
Yeah.
So,
I get it. Listen, Martha, I feel that. I relate to that. So
everybody needs the black puppy vest experience at some point. I feel like we all need a little, we need to feel beautiful every now and again. So we did that.
I agree.
We came back here. And then Christmas Eve, I don't know if you remember, but when Alex was little, I don't know, he was probably 4, and it was one of those Christmases where nobody could be here on Christmas Day, but everybody was coming like the day after, and we were by ourselves.
Yes,
and
yes, I do remember that.
Christmas Eve, we didn't really have anything to do, and so
yeah,
we ended up at the Popeyes.
Yes, I do. I remember all
before they were about to close, and they were having their employee Christmas party, and. And one of the workers gave Alex a cookie. And we say all the time that it was the saddest Christmas Eve ever. Like, say the joke has been like, what are we doing Christmas Eve? I don't know, but we can't end up at Popeyes. So, so we always, as much as we can, we try to plan real well for Christmas Eve. So, anyway, so I love that it was a Sunday so we could go to church. And then we went to coffee after church with some friends, and then we went to lunch with some friends, and then my sister and her husband came in later that day. It was a great Christmas Eve and Christmas, and I haven't been to Popeyes yet, so I feel like that was a win. What about y'all?
It was great. We had a great time. I'm trying to think. Christmas Eve. We did church, which was great. We did a 4:30 service, which we laughed because it was a candlelight service, but it wasn't really dark, so it wasn't really candlelight. But, you know, whatever. But we felt like we felt like church service is weird because with Christmas Eve on a Sunday, we were like, and we're not a two service. I mean, there's one service, you know? So we were like, okay, we'll do an evening service as opposed to a morning service. Because I feel like on Christmas Eve, that's what people want, or that's the tradition. So we did that, but we said 4:30 because we feel like then people are done in time to do dinner things with their family, because you don't want to get to Popeyes after they're done with their
party. That's right. You don't want to interrupt the employee party like we did that time.
Exactly. So we did church, and we went over to Mimi and Bob's, and we had tamales and did our typical thing over there. And then and then came home, and Perry and Caroline and I watched Polar Express because that's one of our traditions. So we sat and watched that, but it was cold. So that was nice. Like, we had a cold Christmas, which I feel like we haven't had in a couple of years. So it's like to have a fire in the fireplace and all that. And then Christmas morning, we got up and opened presents, and then Mimi and Bops came over and we had breakfast and ate cinnamon rolls and then just kind of hung out all day. So, and then went to the Fishers, went over to Gully's house that night, and then we go see Honey and Big and her family and hang out with them. So it was fun. We had a great time.
That sounds so delightful.
Yeah. Low key. But I mean, I'm telling you, it goes back to what your skill set is, but I like the big kid Christmas. I'm a fan of the big kid Christmas.
Too.
Like, it's just because you're not rushing to get people to bed. Nobody's super hyped up. You
Nobody
know, it's
wakes
like we slept till like 10:30 Christmas morning, you know, like, and one of my friends who's got younger kids, I mean, she had texted me by like 7 a.m. Christmas morning and was like, Merry Christmas. She said, I've already been up trying to get our hatch animal to come out for the last 2 hours. And I thought, God, that sounds terrible. Like,
I know. Yeah.
And I'm like, I just poured myself a cup of coffee and I'm sitting here in my pajamas and waiting for my kid to get up. You know, like, this is not a bad way to start Christmas morning.
I agree. I'm with you. I love the big kid Christmas. It's a much more relaxed affair, I feel like.
Yes.
No assembly required.
No, although I did get Caroline, it was funny because one of the things, so Santa still comes to our house, but I had bought these just kind of as a funny, I saw them at Target, Gully and I got them for the kids, but they're like these sumo wrestlers, like these remote controlled sumo mm-hmm. wrestlers that you use and they fight. And I'm going to tell you those things. That was like one of those like, oh, this will be funny. And then when I started like trying to get those things out of the packaging and like use that mini Phillips head screwdriver uh-uh. to like get the batteries in or whatever, I was like, well, this is the mm-hmm. worst. Like who even... But thankfully that the sumo wrestlers have brought us some joy. So we've tormented the dogs with them. So Piper is determined to decapitate one of them. So it's been, we've at least had some joy.
Listen,
they brought us some joy.
Hazel had her worst Christmas ever. She.
Well, I believe that.
Oh my gosh. She was on edge from start to finish. And like today is honestly the first day I feel like she has been reasonably happy and content. She was awful. Like she was awful. Just everything.
So do you feel like it was all the company? Was it all the like the go in, come in and go in and all that?
Maybe it was the company. Every time I start to think about or consider how Hazel must be feeling, I always think about my friend Marion, who always says, nobody knows how dogs feel. Like
yeah.
But nobody now knows how dogs feel. So I know I don't know how she feels, but from my human experience, what I project onto her is that our routine gets very unpredictable.
Yes.
So
yes.
Just, and it's a lot of, you know, it's a lot of coming and going and people dropping off stuff and deliveries and all that kind of stuff. And so she was legitimately terrible. Christmas and the day after. Like never begs when we eat supper, you know, as a general rule, just ignores us and stayed under the dining room table the whole time when at Christmas dinner, like whimpering. You know what I mean? Like I don't even know. Yeah. So
she felt insecure.
Well, clearly. So
today
she's been much better. She's been kind of back to her normalish self, which granted on a good day is still, you know, some significant anxiety, but nothing like what we were dealing with Christmas.
Yes. I get that. I know. I feel like Piper and Mabel, it's just a lot going on. It is a lot of people. It's a lot of stuff. It's a lot of, you know, our daily routine's out of whack because I'm not taking them up to the park every day, you know? And so they don't really know what to think. So, but you know, I don't know how they feel, but it does not seem like they feel necessarily comfortable with the whole situation.
I would agree. So today has been much more pleasant with Hazel, the dog.
Okay. We're good.
Okay. So we will take some time to do what everybody else in the free world does this time of year and talk about some of our favorites from 2017.
Yes.
Are we still good with doing that?
Yeah, sure. Okay. Yeah.
I just turned to look at Hazel, by the way. She's sitting in here with me, but she's sound asleep. So I was just, I figured as soon as I said she was doing better, she'd go on some barking spree. So that's typically how things work. Okay. So we decided, and this was several weeks ago, but we decided that we were going to talk about five of our favorite either moments or things or just very, very general guidelines, five favorites from this year.
In any category.
Like we don't have a system really nailed down, but we just thought maybe we'd talk about some favorite things.
Okay. All right. You want to start? I think you should start.
Okay, sure. I'll start. Okay. Here's one of my first favorites is this is very general because if I had gone with the super specific stuff, it would have been all my things just about.
Okay.
My first favorite thing from this past year is travel.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yes, you did take some trips this year.
So we just had a really and a kind of an unusual year as far as travel goes. Certainly not, I don't think, what next year will look like, but we had three really good trips this past year, we went to Universal over spring break to Universal Studios in Florida with some friends and their families. Then David and I took a 20th anniversary trip to New York in the summer. And then Alex and I went to Kenya in the summer. And just for a host of reasons, that just some of my very, very favorite moments. And also just some neat travel with speaking stuff and like getting to go to Houston and be with you and just getting to go. I went to Arizona for a speaking thing. It was my first time to really spend time in Arizona, but just a lot of neat experiences because of travel. So
yeah. Okay. I love that. I think that's a great one.
Thank you. But
I feel like I had a lot of good experiences because I didn't have to travel anywhere.
And, Listen, most years I feel like are like that. I feel like you and I are never happier than when we're home. But I was kind of looking back, I was like, okay. I mean, David and I were even talking about it on the way, when we were on the way to Mississippi, and he said New York trip was hands down my favorite thing of this past year. And I have to say, me too. Like, it was really
okay.
It was really fun. That's not our normal thing, to go away for a while like that, just us. But it was so fun. And that trip we got to see Dear Evan Hansen, which is another one of my favorite things. It's not on this list, but another one of my favorite things from this year. And so it was great all the way around. So, and
I love that.
Getting to do the Kenya thing with Alex and kind of see another part of the world, and to see the local church kind of at work in another part of the world. It was awesome. So yay travel.
Okay. Very good. I like that. Well, the Aggies just lost, just FYI.
Stop
the
it.
Game's over.
Stop.
They just lost. But listen, I'm gonna tell you one of the things that has not been my favorite thing this year: the Aggie football team. Aggie football team 2017 has not been my favorite. So, this feels apropos. It feels like the way it should end.
Well, judging by
although they did rob us, of a touchdown that was a touchdown.
Okay. Well, there were 27 points there in the last 9 minutes. So clearly it was a defensive showdown. Yes.
Mm-hmm. It was a defensive. I mean, I think the real winner in this is Arkansas, who's apparently maybe about to hire our defensive coordinator. Okay. So good luck, Hogs, with that. If anything has really boosted his resume, I would say that's the fact that we've allowed Wake Forest to score 55 points. I think that really bodes well for your defensive future. But you could also argue that maybe he did not care.
Mm-hmm. Might not have had his head in the game as much this time.
I was going to say.
Hey, everybody. This is Sophie, all by myself in the middle of the podcast. We will get back to our conversation about our favorite things from 2017 in just a minute. But I wanted to jump in and talk for a little bit about Casper mattresses. As you know, Melanie and I are both big fans of sleeping. We enjoy it, we're good at it, and there have even been times we've considered it a hobby. Well, Casper mattresses are so good for sleeping. Not to mention that you spend one-third of your life sleeping, so you should be comfortable when you do. Casper mattresses provide all the support the human body needs in all the right places. They're obsessively engineered, they have just the right sink and just the right bounce, and they're also affordable because Casper sells directly to consumers. They also offer free shipping and returns to the US and Canada. Plus, if you look at Casper, Amazon, and Google reviews, you'll see that Casper mattresses have over 20,000 reviews online with an average of 4.8 stars. People enjoy this mattress. Even better is that you can be sure of your purchase with Casper's 100-night risk-free Sleep On It trial. Casper mattresses are designed, developed, and assembled in the U.S., and if you enjoy sleeping like Melanie and I do, you'll want to give a Casper mattress a try. So, visit casper.com/bigboo, that's casper.com/BIGBOO for $50 off your mattress purchase, and be sure to use the promo code BIGBOO at checkout. That's casper.com/bigboo for $50 off your mattress purchase, and use the promo code BIGBOO at checkout. Terms and conditions apply. Alrighty, here comes the rest of episode 91.
Okay, so my favorite, on to a cheery note, because my glass is going to be half full. Okay. I think one of my favorite moments of the year, and maybe it's because it's fresh in my mind, but it just happened. But it snowed here, December 7th.
Yeah.
And it was so unexpected and it was so fun. Caroline had never really seen real snow before. So that was fun because it was like legitimate snow. I mean, it hadn't snowed like that in Texas since 1985, or at least not here. And so it was so pretty and it was so fun because it had none of the buildup hype because they had not really forecasted it. So it was like all of a sudden it was like it's snowing and it was this unexpected surprise and it was at nighttime and it was just beautiful. And we just had so much fun, like being out in it and the novelty of it, and everything looked so pretty. And that was just one of my favorite memories because it was just kind of an unexpected surprise.
Well, you know, I don't know if we've talked about this on the podcast yet. But when I was in Dallas that weekend, or at the end of that week when it snowed, and so yeah, it was kind of dicey about whether or not I was kind of thinking, well, maybe I can't get back to Birmingham. I don't know. But it was maybe I think we did talk about this because it was the perfect snow because it was beautiful and it covered everything, but the roads were still good. Mm-hmm. Like the big roads were still good here. So coming back from the Birmingham airport, driving to our house was just picturesque. That's the only word to describe it. It was breathtakingly beautiful.
Yeah.
So yeah. I agree. The no buildup snow is the way to go. Like where you're not, it kind of surprises you.
Yeah. It was such an unexpected surprise and it was so pretty. And we just, I felt like it'll be a great memory that I'll always remember. And now we're supposed to get ice on New Year's Day. So they're pre-treating the roads just in case.
Okay.
Which right. In San Antonio, that usually means it's going to be 35 and rainy, but we could have ice. Yeah.
Okay.
So, so that's one of my favorites.
Okay. Let me see what another one. I love that one. Cause that was a special little, I don't know. It was just a special little moment in time. I feel like we experienced some unexpectedly gorgeous weather that we do not normally get, especially y'all.
No, never. Mm-hmm. I mean, it like when I did them, I was like, well, this is kind of depressing because I was like, if you look from how long it was from 1985 to it snowed like that, I was like, I'll be 78 the next time it snows like that in Texas. And so
Merry Christmas, that's a little depressing. Everyone. Merry Christmas.
I'll be 78. Me and my bad back go out there. We'll limp out to the snow.
Okay.
I'll be wearing, my readers will be 6+ magnification at that time.
They won't, because you will have had your cataracts removed by that point.
That's exactly right.
They will have gotten you all fixed up vision-wise.
Oh, I'll walk out there in my sass shoes to enjoy the snow.
I can't. I don't like this visual right now. Okay. Okay, here's my other, another favorite of mine this year. Another favorite has been oil. The rosehip oil and the oil I put in my car, not really. No, rosehip oil, yeah. the lavender body oil that we use from Hummingbird Farms. Yes. For some reason it has been the simplest little transition and I have enjoyed it a bunch. And I know that's super superficial, but no, like it just feels, I don't know. And yesterday, actually, I got a pedicure yesterday. And when the girl who had done my nails, and then she was giving me a pedicure and she used oil on my legs. And I was like, see, the whole world is catching on. The whole world is learning, but I've loved oil.
It has been the year of some oil, I feel like. So, and I feel like even my essential oils in my house, I've been such a, I've had my eucalyptus and peppermint like on constant around here trying to help my allergies. And when I was cooking so much, like, cause I was cooking like breakfast casserole and all that stuff, I'm like, it gets rid of the smells in your house so it doesn't smell like sausage for days.
I know. That's true. I didn't even think about that part of it, but that's true. This is the first year I have ever diffused anything. Mm-hmm. And I have not really used them necessarily for medicinal purposes as much, but I do love the smell of them. And I don't know. I love using them on my face and it's been a favorite, not that I've discovered them by any stretch of the imagination. I believe that, after all, you get the credit for the rosehip oil discovery, you and Kate Middleton. But it's just been one of those things where I'm like, oh, this is a product that I did not know about that I'm now very delighted to use.
Yeah, all the oils. I know. Mm-hmm. I'm all in on all the oils. So, in fact, I've become like, remember in My Big Fat Greek Wedding when it's like the dad sprays Windex on everything? I feel like that's everything Caroline tells me. I'm like, well, you need to put a little rosehip oil on it. Like, that's my thing. Like, anything, like, put a little rosehip oil on it. Like, yesterday after she had a soccer game and it was super cold and she got hit, she blocked a soccer ball with her bare leg. And I guess because the cold, the force of the ball, like it left, she still had like the soccer ball imprint on her leg like hours later, like it was red. And I told her, I said, I think I'd put a little rosehip oil on.
It's your skincare version of put a little lime on it.
It is. I think just don't underestimate. Maybe take an Advil and put some rosehip oil on it. That's what I'm going to say.
Squeeze a little lime on it.
Squeeze a little lime on it. It'll be okay. So
what's your other one? What's your second one?
Okay, let me look. Let me check my notes because I made notes.
I'm so happy.
I know. I think I loved. I always like. I mean, it's a love hate, but it's always fun. Like, I don't know if it's book release week, but I think it was having the book come out this year. Like, I just feel like I had anticipated it for so long, and it had been on my calendar for so long. Mm-hmm. And so is gut-wrenching as those weeks are in some ways. It also feels like kind of the fulfillment of like a long wait for something, you know, so like to have it come out and then to have people say nice things about it and all that stuff, I felt like was a highlight. So, and I got to, at the time I was, but it's, I was glad to be done with the traveling, but it's also kind of fun. I mean, I got to go to LA and I got to, you know, do some different stuff and different trips. And so I felt like that was a fun little adventure. I don't want to do it again for a long time, but it was fun. But in that moment, it was fun. So, because I feel like you wait so long for it and there's so much buildup that it's kind of a combination of it's nice when it comes out and it's a relief when it finally comes out. So that was a favorite for me, I think.
It's such a relief besides the terror that, that people are going to read it, it is such a relief when it comes out. And it feels after you've worked on it for so long and it's been such a, it feels like an endless process sometimes. It's really fun to be able to share it with people finally.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. I think to just have it. Yeah. So that was probably one of mine from this year.
Okay. I think that's certainly a milestone for sure.
Well, it was something.
Yeah. If you feel you probably feel like you're going to have that milestone again in about 2029 will be the next time that happens.
Uh-huh. Yeah, somewhere. Yeah, somewhere. So
You've got some stuff coming. You've got some stuff coming out.
I've got two things coming out this year, but those are finished and those are devotionals. And so for some reason, I just don't feel like that. As hard as those were to write, I don't feel like my anxiety level about those coming out is as high as it is with a book coming out, if that makes sense. I don't know why that is. It just doesn't feel as high pressure to me.
I will say that I really enjoyed the devotional book coming out this past year because it felt a little bit more low pressure, maybe.
Yeah, yeah.
I think I probably enjoyed it the most of, I don't know if that's true or not, but it was still fun. So I think you'll still enjoy it.
Yeah.
Okay. Here's another one of mine, Dinner with Friends this past year.
Okay. I love that.
I feel like some of my favorite memories from this past year are times where I got to really have not just like extended sort of dinner time with friends. And I got to do that when we were in Houston with some friends of ours, which was super fun.
That was probably one of my favorite moments of the year, I think, was that evening.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was so fun. I went to dinner a couple of weeks ago with some of my friends who were younger than I am, and it was just super fun. And just, I think there's something about this stage of life where you don't feel as rushed in those kinds of situations. Like, you don't feel like somebody's forever waiting on you. Like, well, I need to get back because it's bath time, or I need to get back because it's, you know, or whatever.
And yes.
I don't know, just different points in the year. There was a time when I had some friends from high school who were in town, and we went and had this really great dinner while they were here. And there's just something about sitting around the table with people that I feel like I treasure and I value more and more as I get older. And then all the conversation that kind of flows out of that. So like when we were in Houston, I feel like I will remember those conversations that we had for a really long time. I feel like, you know, I don't know.
Yeah.
It's a fun thing to look back on. And even when we were at Universal, we all went to dinner one night, all three families, and we were sitting around the table, and Alex just kind of got on he was just telling stories, just like really sort of, I don't know what happened, but it was like all of a sudden he was kind of holding court at the table, and it was the sweetest moment for some reason. I don't know. Just little things like that. I feel like just neat things happen when people get around a table. And those were some of my favorite memories this past year.
Okay. I love that. I think that's true. I feel like this has been a year where I have, not that I haven't always, but like I've just loved being with my friends and my family. Mm-hmm. Like I just feel like that's been, I'm always a homebody, but I feel like I'm more of a homebody than I've ever been. And some of that was after having the book come out. But I mean, I laughed because I told Gully, you know, like even, you know how people say, oh, look, my word for the new year is mm-hmm. like, I feel like my word for 2018 is no. Like that's it. Can you go? No. No. Are you interested in? No.
The year of no.
Would you like to write this? Yeah. Would you like to write that? No. No. My word is no. I'm like Meghan Trainor. My name is no. My sign is no. That's it. My number is no.
You need to let it go.
That's it. I need to. You need to let it go because I'm not gonna like
bye
whatever.
No.
Yeah, it is. That's me. And I don't mean it in like an ugly way. It's just like prioritizing. It's like I'm going to focus on what is important to me, and I'm cutting out the stuff that's not. Like I just, you know, and it's like it is that like the traveling and the speaking. Like I'm so happy because I think right now I have one thing booked on my calendar for spring, and I was so intentional about that because I was like, I just don't want to do it. Mm-hmm. Like I just. It's not worth it to me. Like it's just, and it's not because there haven't been some lovely opportunities or some nice offers or things that I could do or whatever, but like, I just want to be close to home right now. Like that's what I want to do. So, yeah, no, there you have it. Some people's word might be fearless or be brave or no, mine. Nope. That's my word. Nope.
Hey, so. I was thinking the other day, and I don't know what made me think about it. This is the most liberating part to me of the 40s, especially this last half of the 40s. This is what's mm-hmm. liberating to me about the last half of the 40s is the no with no guilt. Like the, no, that's not for me.
Yes.
That's, no, uh-uh.
Yeah.
Or even we were laughing yesterday about Christmas and taking our Christmas presents back. Like,
yes.
The backstory of this is that Melanie and I both got very lovely Christmas presents from our husbands that we returned. And it's not that I'm not grateful. I was very grateful, but it's just like that. There's a deep assurance when it comes to this is not for me. Like,
yes, this, yes. This, yeah. I know what I like.
Yeah. And this is not for me. I'm so grateful for the gesture. I'm so grateful for the invitation, or I'm so grateful for the opportunity. Mm-hmm. But this is mm-hmm. not. It's just. It's not for me right now.
Yeah. That's it. And I think you know, my friend Jen said one time, and it's always stuck with me. And she said it because she was one who tended to overschedule herself and do too much. That's really never been my problem anyway. But she was like, I never regret when I've said no, but I've often regret when I've said yes. You know what I mean? Like, and I think that's so true. It's sometimes like, and it's good for me because, and Gully knows me well enough to know that I'll say, yeah, I think I'll do that. And she's like, oh, I think you're just saying that because you're in a really good mood right now. You need to wait till tomorrow. And like the next day, I'm like, yeah, I don't want to do that. Like, so, I don't know. There's something liberating about just kind of knowing like this is what I'm going to do and this is what I'm not going
to
do.
It's a lot easier, I feel like, at this age to set boundaries and to mm-hmm. know what those boundaries are and to feel real good about your boundaries, even if it's hard for other people to understand them. So,
yeah. So,
if you're,
so that's it.
How about it? The year of no. Melanie Shankles, year of no.
The year of no. Mm-hmm. It's my word for the year. No.
Okay. I've got to find my list.
Okay.
Okay, this was another one of my favorite things for the year that I don't even know what prompted this, but last year, David and I decided to get a subscription to the Washington Post because, you know, I can watch a lot of news. But there was something about, I want to read news. I want to read. Okay. And so I had this whole year, we've had a subscription to the Washington Post and I've had the app on my iPad, and I have loved it for no other reason than it has given me an opportunity every single day to read some really incredible writing. And I like, you know, I like columnist kind of writing anyway. And I think I had kind of fallen out of reading that sort of stuff. I grew up, Rick Cleveland, he wrote for the Clarion Ledger in Jackson. I always say, and Orly Hood were two of the biggest influences on me in terms of writing. And then just mm-hmm. over the last probably 10 years where newspapers, you know, have sort of in terms of the everybody getting a newspaper tossed into their driveway every morning, that kind of habit has died off. Yes. Something really great about the Washington Post app and being able to read really great columnists and read and like and being able to read that writing every day that has been, I don't know, it's been sort of inspiring to me. And it's made me want to be a better writer. So I have loved it. So I think it's not, it doesn't have to be the Washington Post, but just having something that you kind of acquaint yourself with and where you're reading the same writers kind of over and over. And maybe this is what we did for a while with blogs, you know, I mean, and so now that not as many people are blogging, maybe I've sort of transferred now to columnists and that kind of stuff, but it's been one of my favorite things. Like I love that time of just sitting down and kind of reading through the news of the day and then, but reading it from people who have written it beautifully.
Okay. All right. Well, there you have it. Mm-hmm. Okay. I would say my next thing, I think this will come as no surprise to anybody who listens to the podcast, are the Gap leggings.
Oh, bless it.
Which have been the best thing ever, but which I am sad to say they are gone. Mm-hmm. Like I'm so glad. I've never been more glad that we followed our instincts and bought as many of those as we could, because they're gone now, because I was looking at the after Gap because I thought I'm going to order some more if they've like slashed the prices after Christmas, but they are gone.
I know.
So, so we could link to them, but you may not be able to find them. They will be like the Sam Edelman Camellia boots. They are no longer, available. So,
I wonder if there's somebody who listens to this podcast who knows somebody who knows somebody who knows somebody who works for Sam Edelman.
I don't know. Sam, are you listening? Mr. Edelman?
Can you hear me?
I would very much enjoy. Can you hear me, Sam? I would very much enjoy your Camellia boots in the golden caramel color. I've searched for them on eBay. I've searched for them on Poshmark. I've searched for them in my local Nordstrom rack. I've continued to look for them every day at Nordstrom.com to see if they come back in stock. But alas, they're like the unicorn of the boot world. I mean, they like disappeared. It's like a Loch Ness monster. It's like I saw them and they're gone.
They're gone.
They're gone. They're a mystery boot. The only thing I saw a boot that was kind of a similar that I thought this is reminiscent of, but I thought if I get this boot now and Sam Edelman, Mr. Edelman is to bring back the Camellia boot next season, I will kick myself that I did not wait. So I feel like now I'm at a boot standstill because I can't, you know, it is what it is. But it's my own fault because I should have just paid full price for them. That's my lesson. I should have paid full price.
Listen, you gambled and you lost. I don't know.
I did.
I don't know. I do in my head though. I have this picture in my head. Like if I were a person who did something like a vision board, this is what I would put on it. I have a picture in my head of that one day your doorbell's going to ring and there's going to be a package outside the door. And you're gonna bring it inside and you're gonna open it and it's gonna those Camellia boots are gonna be inside and you're gonna fall to your knees. Like
yes.
You will weep openly. You will pull the boots to your face.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep. I will hold them much like Harry held Meghan in their engagement photos.
That's right.
I would wrap them in my coat and I would hold them close to me. They're gone. So anyway, those would have been my favorite this year, I'm sure, but they're not anymore. But the Gap leggings, I feel like were a real highlight. I did just order myself something similar off of Anthropologie. I did not put them on Fashion Friday today because I think stock is limited and I didn't. Uh-huh. But they have, it's Sundry is the brand. Okay. I'll send you the link. But they are also some thermal type leggings that I saw in store that I thought were pretty fabulous. But at the time, I think they were like full price with $70, which is just ridiculous.
Yeah.
But now they're on sale with an additional 30% off. So I did order a pair of those today.
Okay. Well,
to fully make sure I reach my leggings potential.
Well, listen, I think I told you that when we did our small group Christmas party, we decided we were all going in comfy clothes. We were going like in pajamas.
Mm-hmm.
And so I went in a pair of my Gap leggings.
Well done.
Thank you. So I have the blue stripe, I have the gray stripe. And then on a whim one day, when they went down on sale a lot, I got a gray pair with like that have the word Gap written in pink all over them. They aren't really cute, but I was like, it was like I needed an extra pair, just a bonus pair kind of in case. And I have been so grateful because I cannot wait to put them on when I get home in the afternoons. Like I cannot wait to put them on. They're the best ever. And they're such a good
weight. They really are.
They're not too hot. Like, they don't.
No. Mm-mm. And they're not too thick, and they don't, like, they bend easily. Like, it really feels like you're wearing kind of nothing. Like, they're just a nice layer, you know?
Yes, they're cozy. So, they're so good. And I'm sorry that they're gone, but oh, am I ever glad we got to experience them.
Me too. Mm-hmm. Me too. I'm so glad. I will wear these, the ones that I have, until they are threadbare and I have to throw them out in with much weeping and sadness.
No doubt. Okay, so my last thing is certainly probably not something that I would have thought would have been on my list this time last year. And, but it's something that several people have emailed me about it and, or have left me comments on Instagram about it. But my other favorite thing of 2017, my unexpected favorite thing has been the gym, which who'd have thunk it? Like,
nobody would have seen that. I'm going to be honest. As somebody who's known you for 10 years, I would not have seen that coming.
Mm-mm, no, wouldn't have seen that one coming from a mile away. But it has been, I mean, for a whole host of reasons, it has been a really, really good thing this past year. And I even told David Christmas Day, I said, what you have given me for Christmas looks a lot different than it would have a year ago. Because he gave me some new Brooks shoes, some Brooks walk-in running tights, whatever you want to call them, because I had not tried that kind. And some socks that I love. So I just, it's been really good physically. Of course it's been good because I feel so much better, but, it's been good mentally and emotionally and all that stuff too.
That's good.
So, I don't know. It was not necessarily something that I would have expected, but, it's been a good spot for me this last year. It has meant that I have written a lot less.
Yeah.
Because, you know, it's like I was telling somebody last week, I know how to, what now?
It takes time. I mean, it's a time. It does. Yeah.
And so I was saying, I know how to work, parent, like I know how to do work life, family life, and writing life, or I can do work life, family life, and workout life.
Yeah.
I don't know how to do those. I don't know how to do four.
Yeah.
And so I don't know what that's going to mean, how I'm going to have to arrange things kind of going forward,
because
I do need to write. But anyway, but it's been really, really good. And it's also been a fun thing, I think, for David and me together, which I've never thought I would be that person. But we, you know, like, we'll go to the gym together. Okay. Which, isn't that something?
Yeah.
Okay. So
I love that. I know that really, I am ready to, it's funny because I do get like this every Christmas because I'm a little bit like, I'm at this point, I'm like, I've eaten all the things and I sat around and I've watched a lot of TV and it's time for me to like start moving. Like I'm ready to get back into my workout routine. So, that'll be which I will not do until Caroline goes back to school. So that'll be January 5th, I guess is what day that is. I'll get back to it. So, anyway, that's good. I think my final one, I don't know. I was torn. I think probably if I had to pick, and this is funny, is Caroline and I, like two summers ago, we took a trip to Nashville because I had to go for some work stuff. And then as it worked out, I had to do it again this year. And so I love our trips to Nashville that we take because it's always ended up being the first week of the summer. And so it's kind of a great way to kick off summer. And she and I just have a really good time together. And it's just fun to go. And it's not like we do anything spectacular, but we just like to go and eat and shop and get pedicures and, I don't know, be in a hotel and all that kind of stuff. So I would say that's probably one of my favorites too.
I love that.
Yeah.
It's a little tradition you didn't see coming.
No, I didn't. And I mean, in this year, I even told her, I was like, you know, I said, I think this year, like depended on, I was like, we could even do like a little trip somewhere that's not, Nashville, you know, like we could pick another little city and go and just explore and, you know, see what all there is, because it's amazing how, I did tell her this when we were in Nashville this year. I said, it's amazing that, the comfort that having like Siri and your phone and GPS and all that gives you with like traveling to a city you've never been to before.
Yes, ma'am.
It's a game changer, you know, like to just be able to like get to Nashville and be like, I can plug anything into my phone. I can find where I'm going. I can, you know, it makes everything so much easier. I think I would have been intimidated to do that if I'd had to follow a map, is what I'm saying. But it just makes you kind of go, oh, we're going to try a new city. We'll go somewhere new and see what that's like, you know?
Well, do you remember, I know you remember, but when we were traveling with, when we were blogging for Lifeway, and this is probably, this is probably 8 or 9 years ago.
Yeah.
I mean, as recently as then, I can remember we were meeting in Las Vegas.
Yeah.
And I got there first.
Yeah.
Got the rental car and I was going to pick you up. And I remember having a printout.
Yes.
The directions from Google. And I remember getting in a loop trying to get back into the airport out of it.
Yes.
Couldn't find my way.
Yeah.
And having to go everywhere with directions printed out and all that kind of stuff. Like, and now you just get in your phone and you just punch it in and you go. But
yeah.
I mean, even in that short period of time, things have changed so much, I feel like, in terms of how we travel and where we travel, because it's so much easier now.
Yes, it's so much easier. And if something like goes wrong, you're like, oh, here, I can look it up on my phone and figure out, like, we need to get a rental car from this place or instead, or we can do this, or here's a different hotel. I don't know. It just makes the whole thing. It's a game changer. But I love, Caroline, especially at this age, I like taking our little trips. So it's just fun to kind of get away and do something different. So, and it kind of works out because Perry's not much of a traveler. So, I mean, he's less of a traveler than I am. So that's something she and I like to do, and he doesn't really care about going and doing that. So.
Yeah, I would say probably if I had a runner up to my five favorites, it would be various sporting events with Alex.
Yes.
From going to the SEC baseball tournament and our trip to the state LSU game this year was one of my all time favorites because we thought we were real good then.
Yeah.
But it was, I don't know, just I feel like there's something about whether you take a road trip together or you get on a plane together, but just there's something about that whole process where you get to know each other more as people and less kind of as mother-daughter or mother-son or whatever. It's a whole different dynamic, and I love it.
Yeah, me too. Me too. It's been fun. So there you have it.
Well, we had some good times and some favorite things in 2017.
We did. 2017 overall was not a bad year.
Except for the times I thought it would kill me dead. But besides that, it was great. It was, other than that, it was great. Overall, it was. It was a good year. It was a challenging year in some respects, but overall, it was really good.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. I know. Well, on that note, I've got to go pick up Caroline. Guess what I'm going to do? I'm going to end 2017 like I am going to spend 2018, which is I've got to go pick Caroline up from soccer practice.
There you go. Go get her.
That is my life because soccer does not take a holiday. So I've got to go pick her up. But, okay.
Well, happy 2018, everybody.
Happy 2018. I don't know what I'm trying to say. No, that's what I'm trying to say. No.
No. No.
No.
Bye, everybody.
Bye.